We'll just take a moment or two to commit our meeting into the Lord's hands in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do seek thee, thankful for the privilege we have, the access afforded to us. We would want to take the words of this hymn, make them the earnest cry and prayer of our hearts at the outset of the meeting. We pray that through the service tonight, the time spent in your presence, the time that we spend meditating upon your word, seeking your face in prayer, even in fellowship together, we pray, Father, the outcome of this meeting will be that we will be drawn closer to thee. We cry for the closer walk with God. Draw us closer to Christ, to thy precious wounded side. We want to pray, Father, that each of us, even in the evil days in which we live, will be like your servant Enoch of old, that we will walk with God, that we'll have the testimony that Enoch had, that before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. And Lord, for such a life we would cry tonight. I want to thank you for this meeting. Bless the prayer meetings of this church. May the hand of God be upon them. We ask, Father, for a deeper burden for prayer, a deeper thirst for communion with thee. May that be true of us personally, may it be true of us as a church and as a congregation. Lord, lead us on in our prayer meetings. We ask thee to bless and strengthen very definitely the prayer meetings of this church. We want to pray for a greater burden to be upon the hearts of your people. Pray that others of the church will come and join with us. We pray, Father, that we will be conscious just of how vital this time is. The day that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Thank you for all present tonight. We want to praise thee for enabling us to be here. We thank you, Father, for health to be in thy house. We thank you for overruling, ordering our circumstances, nothing preventing us from being here. And Lord, we want to pray you'll bless all that are gathered. Remember every brother and sister, as we've prayed that you draw us closer to Christ, our prayer is, draw us closer to thyself and draw us closer to each other. Even as a result of that, Lord, do deepen our fellowship. We pray that you'll help us to bear one another's burdens, help us to pray one for the other, help us, Father, to exhort one another, even in the days in which we're found. Pray that we'll be like your servant Barnabas the Great, exhorter, the great encourager of the New Testament church. We ask the Lord to encourage every heart tonight. We pray that even as we're waiting before thee in prayer, those burdens and cares, that you'll help your people here just to spread them out before thee. Pray this will be a time, Father, when we cast our cares upon thee, that we'll go away knowing that we've been able to leave those burdens with thyself. So we pray, encourage every heart. May this meeting be the means of it strengthening our hands, even in God, mindful of those that aren't able to be here tonight, that would want to be, those that are unwell, be near to them, strengthen them. Pray that very soon they'll be able to be with us again. And mindful, Father, of those whose circumstances do prevent them from being here, the faithful attenders of this meeting, draw near to them as well, just at this time. So we ask the Lord to refresh our hearts tonight. We pray for a time of refreshing in this prayer meeting. We plead for an outpouring of your Spirit. We ask the Lord to come upon us mightily by the power of God. May there be power felt, sensed in the prayer meeting, especially in the time of prayer. And Lord, we ask that we will see the power of God at work, even as a result of the prayers that are offered here this evening. Answer these, our cries now, and Lord, abide with us. Come and tabernacle in our midst, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 183, please. Words of Isaac Watts's, Lord, I have made thy word my choice, my lasting heritage. There shall my noblest powers rejoice, my warmest thoughts engage. So 183, and we're going to stand again. as we sing, please. First Peter chapter 2, please. First Peter chapter 2. We're going to begin to read just at the first verse. We'll read together the opening section of the chapter. First Peter chapter 2. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Well then, just there, those tremendous statements, that blessed truth of the mercy of God that we have experienced. And we pray the Lord will add his blessing this evening to for this, the public reading of His Word. The verse 2 we take as our starting place tonight. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. We had brought a couple of messages previously on the theme of what the Bible is like, or what is the Bible like. We did a message back in November, and then one in December. I mentioned that night there was at least one further message in the series. We want to bring that tonight because of other meetings and the holiday season with different messages. It has taken a wee while to come back to the theme, so we want to bring that final message to you this evening. We've been looking at many everyday things, common things that we're all familiar with, things that we see and experience day by day. And in the scriptures, they're likened to the Word of God to give us different aspects of the benefit and the effects of the Word of God upon our lives, and especially upon our spiritual walk. We've covered 9 so far, perhaps 10 if you think of the double one that we looked at. So we began with fire. The Word of God is like a fire. The Word of God is like a hammer. Remember, that breaks the rock in pieces. The Word of God is like a mirror. You look into the mirror, you see yourself as you really are. All those vain notions that we have are all dispelled. So when you look into the mirror of God's Word, the perfect law of liberty, we see ourselves as we really are in God's sight. Remember, one that's very well known, the Word of God is like a sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is likened to water. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. In many places the word is likened unto light. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path to guide us through this dark world in which we're found. The word of God is like seed. Psalm 126. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, the seed of the word, the seed of the gospel that God has given to us to sow. And remember that one relevant to this season, the word is like rain and like snow, Isaiah 55:10. And then the final word, the final one that we considered, is the word is like medicine, the healing powers of the word of God. So there's 3 others I want to emphasize to you tonight and develop a little, bring some application relevant to our lives. The first is that the Word of God is like food. And remember that there are many texts, many passages in the Word of God where that thought is set before us. That's why we read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So the Bible there is likened to our first food, as a child, as an infant. The first food that we receive is the milk, and the Bible is described as the milk of the word, and that's how we are strengthened. Remember, the Saviour said, whenever he was been tempted of the devil in the wilderness, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Just think of those words. It emphasizes that we don't just need bread, the physical bread, the bread that's on our table every day. We need the word from God, the word from his mouth, that spiritual bread to feed us. So we want to pray tonight that in this meeting, God will give us such a message, a word direct from the mouth of God. Remember that Job said, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Isn't that interesting, the words that are used there? We think of the abundance that we experience in this land. There's none in want, none starving. We eat more than what is our necessary food, what is necessary for us to live day by day. He says, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. It is of more value. It is of greater benefit. It is much more profitable for me. I know that the Lord might give us that view as well, that that might be our attitude towards the scriptures. Remember, Paul said as well, in connection with another thought linked to the verse before us, 1 Peter 2, verse 2, Paul said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Imagine that. Christians that have been saved for some time, maybe you're such a Christian and you're still on the meat. You haven't grown old, you haven't matured, you're still on the milk. But the idea again there, the milk and the meat, setting the word of God, the truths, the doctrines of the word of God before us as food. The psalmist said of the word of God that it's sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. We talk about people that have a sweet tooth. We should have a sweet tooth for the Bible. The word of God, his word is sweeter also than the honey. So you'll see that there are many texts. I've given you quite a few examples, but there are many texts that show us, teach us that the word of God is likened to food. Remember that the body cannot live without food. If we don't eat, if we fast, if we go too long without food, then we get weak, we get faint, and sometimes it affects our health. When the Apostle Paul was on the ship going to Rome in the midst of that great storm that lasted for 2 weeks, remember that he urged them to eat, and he said, this is for your health. If we don't eat as we should, it weakens the body, it affects the health. You'll not grow. If you don't eat, you'll not be strong, and you certainly won't be healthy. And what is true physically, brethren and sisters, the same is true spiritually. I impress that upon you tonight. Whatever you may think, whatever attitude and outlook you might have, sometimes we get a little careless, but I impress upon you tonight, you cannot grow without the Bible. You cannot grow spiritually. You cannot mature as a Christian without the Word, without feeding upon the Word. Paul said to the Ephesian believers that I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Isn't that a very insightful statement? To God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So the word makes you grow. It's the word of God that makes you strong. It's feeding upon the word that keeps you healthy spiritually and as a child of God. If we were to ask tonight, why are so many Christians weak? Why are there Christians in churches across the land, across the world, and they're still babes in Christ, even though they might have been saved for years, quite a number of years? Remember that Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He was speaking to those that have been saved for quite a number of years, and he still had to describe them as babes. So why is that, brethren and sisters? Well, one reason is because they've neglected the food. That they've neglected the word. They haven't been feeding upon the word, upon the spiritual food, as they ought. If you think of the verse before us, 1 Peter 2, verse 2, he says, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So how do we grow as Christians? We grow by the word, by the food that God has given to us. We sometimes talk about baby food. Well, he's talking here about the spiritual baby food for the child of God. There's a little chorus we often sing with the children. How insightful it is. Read your Bible and pray every day if you want to grow. That should be our desire. Should be our desire physically. We want to grow strong, especially in the younger years. So it's the same is true with us in the spiritual life, the spiritual walk, if you want to grow, you need to read your Bible, you need to feed on the Word, and you need to pray every day. There's no other way. If those things are neglected, you will be weak, and you certainly will not grow strong. The fact is, if you don't feed, there will be no growth, and there will be no strength, no spiritual growth, and no spiritual strength. Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." So when he had the word, when it was presented to him, when he was reading the scriptures himself, when he heard the word of God presented, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." So see what he's saying there. The scriptures are food, and the food that God gives us is to be eaten by us as Christians. You might ask the question, it's irrelevant. It's an important question in the light of what we're saying. The question is, how do you eat God's word? How do you feed upon it? Well, you do that by reading the scriptures. You do it by studying the word of God, by meditating upon it. Sometimes we're so busy, the pressures, the demands of life, we don't get anywhere close to, anywhere near to meditating. It's just a hurried reading. It's just like a race through the passage to get it read as quickly as we can to get on to other things. Need to take the time to ponder. Remember Mary pondered all these truths whenever the shepherds came and all the things they said about the Lord Jesus. She pondered. And that's what we should do. Seek for those moments through the day when we can ponder the truths that we've been reading in the scriptures, praying over the Bible. Someone used to say, read it through and then pray it in. And we need to do that. Pray in the word of God to our hearts and to our souls. And we need to read the word of God believing, praying for a greater faith, for a stronger faith. So that's how you feed, brethren and sisters. That's how you grow. Do you remember in the tabernacle, the same in the temple in Jerusalem, the priests, they fed upon the showbread. And only the priests could feed upon the showbread in the holy place. So the priests, remember, in the passage that we read tonight, it sets it out that we're a royal priesthood. Every believer is the priesthood of all believers. That great truth that was rediscovered again at the Protestant Reformation. So that the priests of the Old Testament are a picture of the believers of the New Testament. And they fed, only they could feed upon the showbread. And we're to feed upon the bread that God has given to us, that God has been pleased to provide for us. So the word is like food. The second one we'll mention tonight is that the word of God is like a rock. You know the story? It's one of the first stories we hear about in children's meeting Sunday school. It's one of the first choruses we learn. The wise man built his house upon the rock. In the Whitfield College, all of those years ago, nearly 37 years now, the first passage that I was ever asked to preach upon in the homiletics class by Dr. Cook was the story of the wise man and the foolish man building their houses on the rock and on the sand. I didn't get on very well that day at all. But I want to emphasize to you, the wise man built his house on the rock. And what was the rock? What was the Savior teaching when he spoke about building your house, building your life? Remember the third verse of that little chorus brings the application, so build your life upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the rock, brethren and sisters? The rock is God's word. The Savior said, "Whoso heareth these sayings of mine," remember that's what you have in the scriptures, "and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house on the rock." So be encouraged by that tonight. That great truth. God's word is like a rock. God's word, in other words, is a solid and a sure foundation. It's something that is firm. It is something that is immovable. There's a lovely hymn in our book, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is found for your faith in his excellent word." You ever sing that hymn? The tune to sing it to is the tune of "Where the Mountains of Mourn Sweep Down to the Sea." But think of those words, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is found for your faith in his excellent word." The foundation is something that's firm, it's immovable, it's something to build upon, it's something to stand upon through all the trials and difficulties of life. Sometimes people speak about terra firma. They're glad to get their feet back on terra firma, especially if they've been on the sea or in the air. The firm land, in other words, is what they're speaking about, or the firm ground. Well, remember, brethren and sisters, as Christians, that the Bible is the firmest ground, the Word of God. It's firmer and it's surer than the earth, than this world in which we live. In fact, it's firmer and surer than any spot across the face of this earth. It doesn't matter where it is. Keep in mind, as you think of that, what the Saviour said. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Isn't that a tremendous truth? We look out upon the world and we think of the mountains, we think of the rocks, we think of the granite and so forth. Keep in mind what the Saviour said. There's a day coming. It'll all pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. Earth one day will disappear, but not God's word. It will never, underline the word, it will never pass away. So brethren and sisters, God has given to us a sure foundation. And at salvation, when you trusted Christ, when you believed his word, and you came to him by faith, that's where he placed you. He placed you there upon that firm foundation. The psalmist, the 40th psalm, "He took me from the fearful pit and from the miry clay." Think of the miry clay in comparison to the certainty, the solidness of the rock. "He took me from the miry clay, and on my feet he set the rock," or "on the rock he set my feet, establishing my way." So the rock, brethren and sisters, is beneath your feet tonight. The great rock of Scripture. So what that means is, the lesson for us as God's people, it'll never fail. Because of the foundation, because of the strength of the rock, the sureness of the Word of God, you will never be lost. Rejoice in that tonight. You're on a sure foundation. The storms will come. Someone was telling me today that the storm that we had this morning was the 10th storm of this winter. They seem to be keeping a good count, naming them all as we go along. There have been many storms this winter, and there's many storms in life. Storms of adversity, storms of persecution and opposition. Think of the great storms to come of the death and the judgment. But as a child of God, you will stand firm, because there's no surer, no more secure place, no more secure ground than God's word and God's promise. You can trust it, brethren and sisters. I stand upon his merit. I know no safer stand, not in where glory dwelleth, in Emmanuel's land. So you can trust tonight. You can rest secure in what the Lord has said to you. Paul said to the Corinthian believers that in him, in Christ Jesus, all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him are amen, to the glory of God the Father. That's emphasizing, in other words, he's saying they're sure. There's something that's absolutely steadfast. In the book of Numbers, the scriptures declare, "Hath he said, and shall he not do it?" There's not a doubt what God has said, he will fulfill. He's able also to perform. So you can rest secure tonight on a firm foundation, knowing that you will never fall. You will never fall from grace as a child of God. The final one that we'll mention in the message and in this little series is that God's word is like a treasure. It's like treasure. Especially in Psalm 119, he said, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Just take a moment and think of that. Let's ask ourselves, is that true? Is that the desire, the outlook of our hearts? The law of thy mouth, the book you have in your hand, is better. You'd rather have the Bible than thousands of gold and silver. So the Bible there is likened a little to treasure. He says, "I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above much fine gold." That should be the outlook that we have as Christians, that we have a greater love for the Bible, a greater love for his word, reading it, studying it, a greater love for the scriptures than we have for the best gold, the most precious gold that this world has to offer. He said, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." Isn't there a very clear statement there, the comparison between the word of God and treasures? Someone that goes out in search of treasure, when they find it, think of their happiness, think of how they would rejoice. He says, "I rejoice at thy word." Listening to, seeing deep truths that are found in the word of God, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth a great spoil." He said, it's more to be desired, or more to be desired are they than gold. That's a statement from the 19th Psalm. So the Bible, brethren and sisters, is like treasure. It's something of value. May the Lord give us a renewed understanding of that. May the Lord give us a re-evaluation. We can sometimes lose sight of the value of the book that we have. The Bible is something of great worth. And we sometimes use the word great. We overuse it. Sometimes we exaggerate too much. But when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the Bible, we could never stress the truth strongly enough. The Bible is something of great value. It is something of great worth. In fact, there's nothing in this world, brethren and sisters, more precious than the scriptures. We would have to say that this is our greatest treasure. This is the greatest mine that is to be found in all the world. There was a Scottish brethren missionary, Archibald Naismith. He put together some very nice little books of illustrations and outlines. He and his family went to India as missionaries. They came from Lanarkshire, that well-known part of Scotland. When they were home on furlough, their little boy was sent along to the local school. He came home one day and he had a little bit of prose to write, a little essay. They'd given them all a title and they had to write on "My greatest treasure is," and then develop that and given a certain number of words for the little essay. They encouraged him to sit down, settle himself, do his homework. They didn't give him any suggestion, didn't put any influence, any pressure upon him. But as Christian parents, they rejoiced when he came back with the work finished and he'd written, "My greatest treasure is my holy Bible." Just a little lad. Could you say that tonight? All the things you have, all the things the Lord has blessed you with, all the riches, all the treasures of this world. Would you be able to say, would you say from your heart, "My greatest treasure, the thing I value, treasure the most, is the book of God, my holy Bible"? Think of William Tyndale. Think of William Tyndale. He gave his life. He gave his life as a young man, put to death at the stake. But he had devoted his entire life so that the English-speaking people could have the Bible in their own mother tongue, in their own language. Does not show you how much he valued the Bible above his own life upon this earth. So brethren and sisters, think of those things. Do you value the Bible tonight? Do you value the word of God as you should? It says of the days of Samuel that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Sad thing, to a large extent, we don't live on such a day. The Bible is less valued today than it was 10, 20, 30 years ago, even in this beloved province of ours. Remember, the devil knows how precious the Bible is. That's why he doesn't want people to have it. That's the reason why he doesn't want God's people to read it. If there's one person that knows the value and the worth of the Word of God, it is the devil himself. So do you value your Bible tonight? Is it precious? If your Bible is precious to you, that will be evident by your attitude to it. It'll be evident because of how you read it, the time that you spend, that you'll set time aside. You'll not want to miss that. It'll be the regular, at least the daily habit of your life. So if the word of the Lord is precious to you, you'll want to read the book. You'll want to spend as much time as you can in the reading of it. You'll want to read the whole Bible, all that God has said, not just select portions of it. And if you value the Bible, that'll be evident not just by your reading of it, but by your obeying of it, your doing. We're not to be hearers only. Remember, we're not to be forgetful hearers, we're to be doers also of the blessed word of God. So if you really value it, you will carry it out. The Saviour said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And another way that it will be evident that you value the word of God, that it's precious to you, is by the spreading of it. Remember, we considered that a little when we looked at the word of God as seed. We're to take the seed. The sower soweth the word. So we're to take the seed, this precious seed. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. We know how precious it is. And we know that others need it. We know that if they don't receive it, that they will not receive light and life. It'll bring them into the light of the gospel, and it'll bring them to Christ. It'll lead them to the one who can give them eternal life. Remember, as you think of treasure, treasure's normally buried, and you have to work hard to find it. And it's the same with the scriptures, brethren and sisters. It's the same with the scripture treasure. To find the jewels of God's word, to find the nuggets, the very precious nuggets, to find the riches of the scriptures, to find the great truths that's going to enlighten you and deepen your faith and strengthen you and mature you as a Christian, you're going to have to dig deep. If you're going to dig for treasure, it means a wee bit of work. That person has to work hard. Generally, the manual work, the pick and the shovel. And it's the same for us. We want to mine the depths. We want to get the treasures. Then we're going to have to work. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study to show thyself approved unto God. There's going to need the need for long hours of studying the word of God. J.C. Ryle, remember the first great Protestant bishop of Liverpool, said, we should read our Bibles like men digging for treasure. So that sums it up well. That's the way we should read our Bible every day. We know that we have a treasure trove. We have a great mine of riches in our hand. And we are reading this book like those that are digging for treasure. Do you do that? Is that the way we read? Or are you careless, indifferent to the reading of the Word of God? I'm sure you've heard that story. It's very relevant in what we're saying. That story of the young fella many years ago. His uncle died. His uncle was a godly man, loved the Bible. His uncle was also a very wealthy man. He had a lot of money. And this young fellow, when the uncle died, was waiting on the reading of the will. Remember, where there's a will, there's a relative. So he wanted to hear the will and see what his uncle had left him, what his uncle had bequeathed him. So the uncle had left him his Bible, the Bible that he read, pondered, treasured so much, meditated upon every day. The young fellow was disgusted, didn't even open it to look into it. He took it home and he went up into the attic and he opened the trunk in the attic where he kept his belongings. And nearly in disgust, just fired the copy of God's Word into that trunk and closed the lid and forgot about it. Until many years later, he was passing through very difficult times. And he thought about his Bible and he thought, maybe I should read a few chapters of the Word of God. And he went up into the attic and he swept the dust off the lid of that trunk, searched out the Bible and sat down to read it. And to his amazement, as he opened the Bible, between every page there was dollar bills. In fact, tens of thousands of dollar bills that his uncle had left him. He hadn't forgotten his nephew in his will. He had just hidden the physical treasures in the pages of God's Word. But as he read the Bible, he didn't just find the money that his uncle had left him. He found the treasures of Scripture, and God touched his heart, and the riches of God's grace touched his heart and led him to Christ. His uncle's prayers for his nephew were answered. So you think of that Bible. It was a Bible full of riches, both the physical and the spiritual. And that's what the Bible is like, brethren and sisters. It's full of riches. The Apostle Paul spoke about the unsearchable riches of Christ. So that shows you how great and how vast they are. Doesn't matter how much time you spend, you're never going to fully fathom the riches. Unsearchable. Think of men for generations, great men for centuries have been studying and preaching the Word of God, and they've yet not fully fathomed the depths of Scripture. So what I want to urge you to do tonight is to dig for those treasures. Every day open the mine of God's Word and pray that God will give to you a little of the riches of his grace, the little of the treasures of the Scripture. So what the Bible is like, here's number 10, 11 and 12, food and rock and treasure. So pray the Lord will bless these truths, these studies. Pray they'll be of help to you, and especially have helped you as you read, and even have helped you to encourage you to read the Bible just a little more. 184, please. There is a book that comes to me from one who spake of old.